brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live. This is the Alex Jones Show, third hour coming up. I obviously am not Alex Jones. I think that would be apparent to anyone. I am Jack Blood, doing my very best to fill the enormous shoes of Alex Jones today. Tomorrow, Bob Dacey sitting in at the end of the week, and then Alex coming back rejuvenated, renewed, to work with you to take on the New World Order and interview some of the biggest names out there in the news business. But I appreciate you hanging in there with me, you supporting me doing the program, and like I said, I'm just going to try to do the best I can. Just real quick, we have a guest coming up here in just about 5 minutes, a great activist, at least on paper. We'll open up a can of worms with him and see exactly where he stands, but they're threatening huge, huge groups of people to protest if indeed Congress does not pull out of this war, which is exactly what I think Americans were voting for when they put the Democrats in Congress. Let's go back to the phones. Dylan, you were asking a question. It sounded kind of like a long answer, but go ahead and try to ask that again. I'll do the best I can in the time we have.
I realized that was a long answer question. So what I was going to say is that I think there's obviously a direct correlation between places who have any of the radio shows on versus ones that don't. I was going to say, you know, why is it that some places you go, it seems like you can talk to an average, you know, you'll find 3, 4 out of 5 people you can tend to, mm-hmm. you know, have a lot more in common, whereas, like, at least where I'm at, I'm not trying to...
So you think it has something to do with geography?
Yeah, well, not necessarily always the geography, but I'm just saying, like, at least here in Houston, and this can apply to everyone, not just people here in Houston, but I don't think there's one show that talks about stuff like this. I mean, everyone here can listen to it on the internet, but there's not anywhere you can...
We have an RFA affiliate out in somewhere in Houston, but obviously we need more of these microtransmitters going up around the country. You know, I don't know if that has that much to do with it. I mean, either you're ready for this kind of information or you're not. I think that it's really our job to, you know, I kind of hate this metaphor, but plant seeds. Because what happens is you go and you talk to somebody, you make a good case. They may not latch onto it right away, but then something will happen. They'll hear something. It will set them off. They'll start doing their own researching. They'll find more information, and then they're in. So just some people just aren't ready for it.
Yeah.
But I think it certainly helps to have, you know, shows like this on the dial. We've proved that all over the country for the last, you know, 5, 10 years.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've gone through a huge transition in the last couple of months. Totally shook up my world, but I'm very grateful for it. Thank you.
Well, Dylan, thanks for calling and hang in there. And, if anybody wants to help us bring in more affiliates for these shows, we need your help, okay? Many hands make light work, and that's how we're going to succeed here. Tony in New York, thank you for calling in. You're on the Alex Jones Show. I got about a minute.
Hey, Jack, what's going on? You're doing a great job. You know, it's lunacy to me how people can't see the truth. They can't see what the president's doing and how this country's being set up to invade the whole Middle East. It's beyond me.
Well, they have the blindfold. I think people are, if you look at the polls, Tony, I mean, I don't know how big of a believer I am in polls, but I think people are starting to figure it out.
70% on MSNBC. Yeah. You know, I think it's H.R. 5122 gives the president in a time of emergency direct control of our militia, the National Guard. I mean, this is lunacy.
Yeah.
People can't deal with what's going on in Texas.
One of the many components to all of this these wars, which, of course, have been laid out by the Project for New American Century back in the 90s. I'll tell you how far this has gone, in my opinion, Tony. I was watching Britt Hume last night on Fox, and one of his pundits, I forget which what his name is, but he's been a hawk now for years, recanted and said, look, if I knew what I knew now, he was defending Hillary Clinton almost, if I knew what I knew now, I wouldn't have been for the war. I mean, that is a profound 180 turn from fully supporting anything that President Bush does.
People out there, it's very easy to do, like that lady was saying, make a pamphlet. I live in New York, you go on the subway, when I'm going doing my business, I pull out a pamphlet and hand it to someone about 9/11.
Right.
You know, it's very easy to do, man. You guys are doing a great job.
Thanks, Tony, for your help. We need you, man. We need you. Step it up. Redouble your efforts. We need all the people to carry the load for those who don't. We'll come right back, folks, right after this. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. This is the Genesis Communications Network.
If
each year, after a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean the hard-to-find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems. Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned, and operated since 1947. Earth-friendly pure soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Jack Blood sitting in for Alex Jones today. This is the Alex Jones Show. Really a running theme today. A lot of people on the program, the guests we've been having on the show this week, are activists. They're out doing something. They're not just sitting back and griping and complaining and taking it you-know-where. Really getting out and trying to make a difference. Our next guest has a long history going back many decades in taking on the establishment as it pertains to war, as it pertains to freedom and liberty here in this country. His name is Dean Lawrence Velville of the Massachusetts Law School. He's the Dean of the Massachusetts Law School. He joins us now. Dean Velville, great to have you on the program.
Thank you very much.
Give us a little bit of your CV. Tell my listeners who you are and what you've done.
Well, I'm 67 years old, sad to say. I have been a lawyer. I've been in private practice. I've been a lawyer for the government. I've been a professor. I've been the dean of a law school. I have had a lot of cases dealing with war, with major antitrust problems. I've written some books. I've written articles. You know, the usual things.
In fact, you once sued President Nixon to try to stop the Vietnam War. You chastised congressional Democratic leadership for stating that they'll not cut off funds for the U.S. troops, which, of course, means that we'll have 160,000 or so troops fighting in Iraq for years. I mean, it looks more like an escalation and less like a Band-Aid all the time.
Well, I would say that I'm very much against it. I actually, in a blog that will be coming out today or tomorrow, have said, and I truly believe, that it's immoral, as it were, for certain Democrats not to vote to cut off funds for the existing war, because they are against increasing funds to fund the surge or escalation, or whatever one wishes to call it, and they are against it. Obviously, they think that the existing war is already a failure, and they don't want to add to the failure by providing more funds. But if you think that the existing war is a failure, as they do, and yet you do not cut off the funds for it, then you are simply contributing to the forthcoming, certain deaths and maimings of who knows how many thousands of Americans, not to mention how many thousands of Iraqis. And you're doing it purely for political considerations, because you don't wish to be tarred with the the white feather, so to speak. You don't want to be called a cut and runner, so to speak. You wish not to take political responsibility for doing what ought to be done. And that strikes me as immoral.
Well, that's what we hear. I mean, I don't know. There could be something involved in this with, lobbyist groups, some of the same lobbyist groups that work with the Republicans, who the Democrats are endeared to, who really don't want to see the spigot shut off for this war.
Well, I just don't know enough to comment about that. I do know enough to say that ever since we began an imperialist course of action in 1898, and there are some who place it earlier with the annexation of Hawaii by military means de facto in 1893. Ever since then, it has been a good principle to follow the money, as it is said. And, there are lots of people who are big companies who have been making a lot of money in this war, I needn't tell you. And I'm sure that many of these corporations give money to Democrats, too. The extent to which that can be moving some of the Democrats or affecting their views on whether they will cut off funds is not something that I really feel I know much about.
Well, I mean, obviously, fear is an effective tool. It worked with the Patriot Act. It's worked now, these last 6 years, Dean, and I think it definitely has to be a big part of the equation. How do we alleviate this fear from our wonderful Democratic-led Congress? Is there a way we can do this other than taking them down?
Well, you've asked what I'm increasingly coming to think is perhaps the major question of American foreign policy. For a number of years now, and I have been saying this for many years, one of the real problems with American foreign policy is that in making that policy, our leaders tend to think as lawyers do, which may be an odd thing for a lawyer to say, but lawyers are constantly thinking up the worst possible case that one can imagine and saying that we must make our policy in light of that worst possible case. We must make it in order to avoid or overcome that worst possible case should it happen. Now, most of the time in human affairs, the worst possible case doesn't happen. And quite often, by preparing for the worst possible case, you just make things worse rather than better. And fear has been a major factor in this ever since roughly 1947 or 1948 and the beginning, maybe 1946, and the beginning of the Cold War, when we were afraid of Russia and what it might do. We in Vietnam, for example, were afraid that if we did not overcome the communists in Vietnam, we would, in the jargon of the day, be fighting them in San Francisco. They would take over Cambodia, they would take over Laos, they would take over Japan, they would take over the Philippines, and that was called the domino theory.
Of course,
the domino theory is a theory of fear. And we have been doing much the same thing in Iraq. Partly, we started in reverse with a reverse domino theory, a hopeful domino theory that was in itself absurd and based on a complete lack of knowledge of history. And that was that we could create a democracy in Iraq, and that democracy would in turn result in the creation of democracies elsewhere in the Middle East. That was silly. Today, we're again using a domino theory, but it's a domino theory of fear, that if we don't stop the enemy in Iraq, then the Iran and Syria and Egypt and so forth will become more and more belligerent towards the interests of the West, more and more belligerent towards Israel, and there will just be hell to pay. Now, our basic problem, therefore, if you ask me, or at least I'm increasingly coming to think as people increasingly talk about it, our basic problem is that we in this country are operating out of a culture of fear, and we let it get in the way of more balanced thinking about things.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Now, I don't know if Americans are so afraid now to get tarred and feathered as an anti-war activist or aiding the enemy. Obviously, this played a big part in why people didn't stand up several years ago. But I think you're seeing this. I'm certainly seeing this, and we're seeing this in the polls, that Americans have had enough of this. You know, we played a clip on our program about a week ago. Here's Oliver North saying that the troops don't support the surge. He doesn't support the surge. I talked about one of the pundits on a Fox News show with Britt Hume yesterday saying the war was a mistake. I mean, you know, at what point do the American people, at what point can the American people pressure Congress, pressure the Senate to really take up their ideas, their will, their lack of fear? When do we inspire Congress to not be afraid, and how can we again put the pressure on them?
Well, you know, that's a most interesting point. I personally think, and I thought this for a long time, but I think the reaction to November 7th merely serves to confirm it. Democracy in this country is not what most of us think a democracy or a republic should be, in my judgment.
Yeah.
That we have a political class which really finds one reason after another to ignore the expressed will of the people. And whatever one may think was the will expressed in November 7th, I think you're awfully hard-pressed to say that the expression was that we should escalate in an attempt to win.
Right. But George Bush gets on the TV the other night and says he doesn't care. He doesn't listen to the people. He doesn't listen to Congress. Doesn't listen to the troops on the ground. He's the decider, as he likes to say, although I take some issue with that. He just doesn't care. I mean, what message does that send to the American people?
Yes, well, you know, I'm afraid that the message we're getting is that, we have an executive branch which is out of control. B, we have a Congress which lacks the morality and intestinal fortitude to stop that executive branch. And C, this really is another step along a long train of steps that started in reality on June 20th or 21st, 1950, when Truman made up his mind with Acheson that we were going to go into the Korean War without congressional approval. And Acheson even said that this is not exactly the time to be thinking of constitutional niceties or some phrase just like that. And then it continued in Vietnam, and then it's continued in a whole bunch, you know, of other invasions of small countries, such as Panama and such as Grenada, and the Dominican Republic and Haiti, wherever we send our troops, just as we started sending them all over hell and beyond, starting in 1898. And, you know, right now we do indeed, the American public, I think, are beginning to understand, at least a lot of people are beginning to understand, maybe not all, that we have an executive branch that is completely out of control and a Congress that lacks the guts to stop them.
I tend to think that they're doing exactly what they want. It would seem out of control to us reasonable people out there, Dean Velvel. I don't know. I think they have an agenda and a plan, and I tend to think that it's working perfectly for them. Is there anything to the effect? I mean, are the American people going to get? Are they going to understand? Are they going to take enough time to understand the same people that were involved in Vietnam, whether that be KBR or Halliburton or Cheney or Negroponte or George Herbert Walker Bush, are the same people involved in Iran-Contra, the same people involved in these latest wars?
No, but
let me get your answer to that question. Let me get your answer to the question on the side of this break. Dean Lawrence Velvel with us, folks. Stay tuned.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that the Lenin School of Political Warfare has laid down a plan for a third world war that will destroy both Christianity and communism at the same time? From the rubbles of this war, the Illuminati will establish their world government, prophesied in Revelation chapter 13. Communism said they would pretend to collapse, and when America had begun to disarm, the combined communist world would launch a surprise attack and smash us with their clenched fists. We'd like to show you how these things are coming to pass by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736 to request your subscription. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call.
Ted Anderson from Midas, January 16, 2007, gold 625, ounce gold coin 645.66, 325.38 for half, 162.69 for quarter ounce. That's 645.66, 325.38, and 162.69. 1971, Nixon closes the gold window. Fiat currency, 1920s, the German mark explodes from 75 to 23 trillion. 1995, gold doubles against the Mexican peso. 1997, gold increases 82% over the Indonesian rupee. 1998, gold jumps 2/3 over the Russian ruble. 2002, the Argentine peso loses 1/5 of its value to gold. 2006, the last superpower, the USA's mighty dollar, loses over 1/2 to gold and other raw goods. Could government let this happen? Without immediate backing, how much will it lose? Midas has Nick Barashev's report covering the loss of purchasing power, fat tail events, bull market economic vulnerabilities, and gold-oil relationship. You've lost 1/2 of your purchasing power. Call 800-686-2237 before the rest disappears. That's 800-686-2237.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
I was sitting in traffic, listening to the radio. George Strait was singing, Seashores of Old Mexico. It sounded so good, I got an idea. I'm gonna go there since they're all over here. The Lone Star State should be renamed Texaco.
You're listening to the Alex Jones Show. This is the Genesis Communications Radio Network. In an October 2006 cover story, the National Jurist magazine named our guest today, Lawrence Velville, one of the most influential people in legal education over the past 15 years. Dean Velville is the editor-in-chief of a journal of serious thought published by his law school that he helped found called The Long Term View. He's also host of an hour-long television book review show, Books of Our Time, produced by MSL and seen throughout New England. He joins us on our program today. Dean Velvel, it's so good to have you, and there's so many questions I want to get to, but what about the same names being involved for the last 40 years in foreign policy, headed off by, of course, Henry Kissinger, who, as we know, is consulting with George W. Bush, probably on his father's behalf or David Rockefeller's behalf in the White House. I mean, the old adage is, you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. Having the same people institute this foreign policy is pretty boneheaded.
Well, I cannot do anything but agree with you and say that perhaps modern medicine's ability to keep people alive longer and longer is not an unalloyed good, if you see what I mean. People who have particular world views have now been around and in power since roughly 1968 or 1973, depending on how one calculates it. This includes the people you have mentioned. It's really tragic in this regard that Gerald Ford's pardon of Richard Nixon has come to be regarded by most people in the United States as a good thing that caused us to avoid the divisions and, yeah, and so forth. I think that's wholly wrong. I think that Ford's pardon cemented a view which might have been true anyway beforehand, but he certainly cemented the view that that criminals in high office and people who do very bad things in high office are not going to suffer for it. They are going to get away with it. They are going to be able to make millions of dollars afterwards, as Kissinger apparently has, and as Cheney did, and as Rumsfeld has. That's one of the reasons why these people continue, yeah, to do the things that they are doing. They know that, it's not going to be their children or their grandchildren or their relatives or friends who are facing the enemy's bullets, and B, they know that, unlike these people whom the Iraqis don't even seem to be able to hang properly, they are never going to be facing criminal punishment for what they have done. And so we have now, for the last 35 years or so, the same people with the same ideas doing the same kind of thing.
In fact, the more they screw up, the more they get promoted, allegedly. And we can talk about conflicts of interest here with James Baker III and Henry Kissinger having contracts with Saudi Arabia. I mean, literally working for Saudi Arabia, obviously. And I guess we can throw in Israel here. Obviously, there are some conflicts of interest. If these are the people spearheading our foreign policy.
Yes, and I think that the words conflict of interest are, to some extent, at least figuratively, if not literally, unknown to these people.
They've never heard the term before. They didn't take an ethics class, I guess, when they were getting their New World Order education. We're just about to go to break again, but I know you're going to stay with us for the balance of the show, at least another half an hour. And I want to get into the authority the president has, of course, as a law professor. You know all about this, the authority to wage an international war on terror in any sovereign country that you might want to pick on in relations to the authority that Congress has given them. There is some discrepancy here, no discrepancy with us on this program, on what exactly Bush was authorized to do in the Middle East. And I want to get into some of those issues. You mentioned, you talk about former Justice Department counsel John Yoo. And then he says the commander-in-chief has the ability to wage war no matter what Congress does. Of course, again, going back to the 60 Minutes interview with George W. Bush, he didn't care, has no absolute care in the world about what Congress can do or wants to do. He feels he has the authority to go ahead with this. You have listed a number of precedents in this case. If you want to give us just a clue on what we can talk about on the other side regarding this matter.
Well, a clue would be that these people are out of their minds.
That simplifies it. I think that's what Ray McGovern often says. These were the people once termed the crazies in the basement, folks, now running our foreign policy. But we're going to come back and clarify this in a legal terminology when we come back right after this, folks. The Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com. Stay tuned.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimonial of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages, and WristEase provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, W-R-I-S-T-E-A-S-E, WristEase.com. Once again, WristEase.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 928-8822. This
is the Alex Jones Show. Jack Blood filling in for Alex today and tomorrow. Alex will be back next week on the program for you. Good guest today. Good job, Kevin, booking Dean Lawrence Velville of the Massachusetts School of Law with us. His website is VelvelOnNationalAffairs.com. That's V-E-L. V-E-L on NationalAffairs.com. And, of course, that's linked at Infowars.com, as well as a wonderful picture of Dean Velvel. Dean, let's go to the legal questions here. If we can talk about what power Congress has, what power the president has, so we can put this in the proper perspective for our listeners.
Okay, I'll try to keep this brief rather than give you all the chapter and detail. Fundamentally, when they wrote the Constitution, the framers of the country were very concerned that the executive would have the power to determine that there shall be war, because they had seen what disasters this led to. They wanted the decision on war to be made by the Congress, and that's why they created the Declaration of War Clause that says Congress shall declare war. That was a way of saying that Congress shall make the determination on whether we shall fight a war and how big a war we shall fight. Over the course of the years, that was not honored, sometimes in the breach when it came to small invasions against small countries in the 19th and 20th centuries. There were a lot of those, but the first real really significant breach in it did not occur until Truman sent troops to Korea in 1950. I should say that some people like to say Lincoln breached it, but one has to remember that was a civil war, which is worlds different, and he was confronted with a war already in effect declared upon the federal government, and he immediately, and it's very important that he did so, got ratification from Congress for everything he did. So the first real breach was when Truman sent troops into Korea, and the thinking that began to take over then was a product of the Cold War. And in Vietnam, of course, that thinking reached a zenith. The president took the position, as you point out, George W. Bush, the first Bush later did, that the president as commander-in-chief has the power to fight any kind of a war he wants against whomever he wants, whenever he wants, and so on and so forth. And as part of that, they said they did not even need the Tonkin Resolution. They began saying that after people became aware that the Tonkin Resolution was in effect a fraud.
Yeah.
Now, that kind of thinking that started developing in the Cold War has continued on to our own day. And in the Vietnam War, there were lots of false reasons given for why the president allegedly can fight any kind of a war he wants against whomever he wants. But these days, it has come down to fundamentally one proposition only, that as commander-in-chief, he need not obey the laws of Congress. That, of course, is the high road to dictatorship. It is the John Yoo theory. It is completely inconsistent with what the framers wanted and is completely inconsistent with our democracy. In point of fact, Congress has the right, as I've said, to make the decision on war, and Congress also has the right to cut off funds for a war. It is really rather ironic that for years and years in Vietnam, we kept hearing from the executive and its supporters that if Congress wanted to act to stop the war, it ought to cut off funds, which ultimately it did for the bombing of Cambodia, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But today, some Democrats, Barack Obama and others, have been saying, well, Congress hasn't got a right to stop the executive by cutting off funds. Of course it has such a right. That's one of the major powers that Congress has. As for the commander-in-chief power, let me only reiterate, or if I haven't said it, let me say for the first time, that the reason the president was made commander-in-chief was not, of course, so that he can go off and fight wars with armies and navies and air forces anytime he wants, but so that the civilian authority would be subservient to military authority, because if this commander-in-chief power goes to a civilian, the president. People might wish to note that George Washington was commander-in-chief, by the way, and considered himself at all times subservient to the Continental Congress,
right,
which was a civilian authority.
It was good enough for George Washington, not good enough for George W. Bush. Of course, it stands to reason, and this goes back again to the fortitude of our congressional leaders currently to cut that budget, and as we've mentioned, they're afraid to do it because, of course, anything that happens subsequently afterwards will be blamed on them. They know they'll be set up for this, so that does certainly play in this, but I believe that we elected them to do exactly this, is the point here. I mean, but here we're looking at Iran right now. We had to do some reporting today on the program, Dean Velvel, about Iran, the escalations in Iran, the moving of carrier groups in Iran as a show of force, currently working with terrorist groups in order to infiltrate Iran, certainly. A lot of people trying to read George W. Bush's or Dick Cheney's mind or the neocons' mind, saying that the window is closing for them, that if they lose this war in Iraq, they're going to be blamed for it. That will be the end of the neocons. They're ratcheting up what's going on in Iran. But again, going back to the legal authority, they would have to have the approval of Congress to start this new war, or I guess they're going to come out and say this is part of the larger international war on terror.
Well, I think you're right. To take 1 second before I say why I think you're right, it should also be noted that even the mainstream media reported a little bit, not much, just a little bit, about half a year ago, that we were fighting Syrians on the border between Iraq and Syria.
Yeah.
Now, the president does not currently have the authority to fight Iran or fight Syria or fight anybody except Iraq and Al-Qaeda. And I'll tell you what the authorizations say. I thought you might ask me a question like this. I have them in front of me.
Okay.
The authorization about Iraq says that the president is authorized to use the armed forces against Iraq. That's it, against Iraq. The authorization of 2001, well, with regard to terrorist organizations, says that he is authorized to use force against, and I'm going to quote now, those nations, organizations, or persons he determines planned, authorized, committed, or aided the terrorist attacks that occurred on September 11th or harbored, past tense, such organizations or persons, and that he can do this to prevent future acts. As Congress people have said, it never occurred to them in their wildest dreams that this would be considered to be authorization for a major war against Iran, a major war against Syria, a major war in the Middle East.
Let me interrupt you, because I don't know how it occurred to me. I'm just a simple talk radio host, okay, with a small college education. How do I know there are no weapons of mass destruction, number one? How do I know that he's going to take advantage of this, both domestically and with foreign policy? How was I aware of the PNAC documents, and my wonderful proxy Congress wasn't?
I don't know the answer to your questions. I can tell you this.
I don't want to let him off the hook, is what I'm saying.
I will tell you this, and I hope this is not letting them off the hook, because I don't mean to. I do believe that at the time, a lot of people, and I would certainly include myself in that, because I was on a television show that while it was occurring with a fellow from Louisiana, and we both said, Lord, we don't really think we should fight in Iraq, but what do we know? The president says they have weapons of mass destruction. He and Powell say they've got conclusive evidence of it. Who are we to say anything differently? Now, Congress should have made it its business to debate and determine the truth about this matter. And because of cowardice, it did not.
And you're saying because of 9/11 and the groundswell of support for the president and the neocons after 9/11, they were too scared to stand up to him.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, we could tackle this on so many levels. Let's quickly talk about domestic war policy, war powers, the evisceration of the Constitution to keep us safe, to protect us from these alleged enemies. So what authority legally does George W. Bush or the White House have in reality to suspend the Constitution, to eviscerate and to attack our rights noted in the Bill of Rights, which they have done continuously now for years?
Well, for my money, they don't have any such right. And this whole business about spying on people and torturing people, which is against American statutory law. Nobody wants to say, by the way, and I've not heard one member of the mainstream media say it. Maybe it's been said on your program. I don't know. But otherwise, I've not heard one member of the mainstream media, television, radio, or in the print media say that George Bush and company, and that includes Cheney and Addington and Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz, these people are all guilty of clearly beyond dispute of a felony under American domestic law, because they have all conspired to produce torture abroad. That is a felony. It is punishable for conspiracy up to life imprisonment if people were killed due to conspiracy, as some were, and for the people who, of course, actually did the killing, the potential punishment ranges up to execution. You don't find the mainstream media talking about this, and it's just another example of how these people have seized power to do whatever they want, regardless of the Bill of Rights. And at least until recently, the media has hardly said boo, and the Congress has not said boo about it. And we were seriously threatened with vast invasions of our rights in this country. I think the situation may be turning around a little bit now.
Yeah.
But if so, we've only begun to turn it around.
Let's talk about, you wrote a book on the Vietnam War and civil disobedience. What was the name of that book?
Undeclared War and Civil Disobedience, the American System in Crisis.
And that's important, and you're threatening, if Congress does not stop the Iraq War, that there will be a D.C. protest of unprecedented size. I'd like to believe you can get the people out for this. How important is that? How important is civil disobedience, and what role will anti-war rhetoric or anti-war beliefs play in this 08 election?
Well, a number of questions. Let me first say, I personally am threatening nothing. I mean, I would not use the word threat. I'm simply saying I think that is likely to be, that a massive march in Washington is likely to be what it takes. Otherwise, I fear only a march of unprecedented proportions will be sufficient to move the Congress. I myself am not part of the planning for any such march. You know, I write and I talk and I run a law school, so I don't have a lot of time.
Well, there
to
are
be
plenty of people out there to do with it. They have not been,
right.
As we can say, that
and
successful
is, way,
getting
there
people
is,
out.
I found out after I wrote that that posting. I found out that there are groups that are planning a march for January 27th in Washington. How important do I think something like that could be in stopping this war? I think it may be the only thing that will stop this war, just as the marches during Vietnam had a great deal to do with ultimately stopping that war,
wow.
Although God knows it took about 8 years too long, and had a great deal to do with civil rights, the famous March on Washington in 1963.
Yeah. How do you define civil disobedience?
Well, I've always thought that civil disobedience means disobeying the law for moral reasons. And what I said back in the book that was published in 1970 was that I thought that juries ought to have a right. And other people have said that subsequently, and people have opposed it subsequently. I thought juries ought to have a right to consider the fact that somebody was acting out of moral conscience and did not actually injure any person or property in what they were doing when determining whether to convict somebody for a crime. So that if somebody marched or if somebody, marched peacefully or if somebody burned a draft card, didn't strike anybody, didn't hit anybody, didn't murder anybody, didn't blow anything up, that a jury ought to have a right to consider this in determining whether or not to convict somebody. And, you know, one of the ironies is that, according to the law as it stands, juries are not supposed to consider these things, are not allowed to consider these things, although we know that, in fact, some do sometimes of their own accord.
It would be helpful if the judge instructed the juries on jury nullification.
We cannot even get a guy like Bush or Kissinger or McNamara or Johnson or Rumsfeld into a court to be a defendant.
You know, we were up in New York City for the coronation ceremony for George W. Bush in 2004, and they had these nets. I mean, this shows you kind of the semantical argument of some of these legal precedents where, you know, what is civil disobedience? That's why I asked you the question. I almost got nabbed up in a net just for crossing the street, and I had press passes, congressional passes, bar codes hanging around my neck. So I'm you know, congressionally approved to be at the convention to cover this for the media, and really they just have these nets out to Dean Velville who would grab people up, send them out to a dirty pier somewhere, keep them on a really no authority until the convention was over. Just snagged them right up.
Yes, I know. We became aware of all that, and what can we say except that the government is full of Richard J. Dailies, if you see what I mean, who will do whatever it takes, in their opinion, to keep people from peacefully protesting, from getting their point across to the body politic at large, who are perfectly happy to do whatever works to suppress dissent. And you were involved in a situation of that kind, just as the protesters were in 1968. And as I said, the Richard J. Dailies, the George W. Bushes, they don't even face prosecution, whereas rather innocent people cannot argue to a jury that they caused no damage and acted for moral motives. I'm not talking now about a fellow like the guy who shot Dr. Slepian and then said, well, you should acquit me because I killed him because of my moral beliefs about abortion. I'm talking about people who are not harming others.
Yeah, sure. No, and we're on the same page with that. Dean Lawrence Velville is with us from the Massachusetts School of Law. Again, his website is VelvilleOnNationalAffairs.com, and it's a very informative website. Let me ask you about impeachment. I'm looking at a story from Paul Craig Roberts, who is alleged to be the father of Reaganomics, a true conservative. saying, when are the American people and the representatives in Congress and the military going to wake up and realize that the U.S. has an insane war criminal in the White House who is destroying all chances for peace in the world and establishing a police state in the U.S.? Americans don't have much time to realize this, and they have to act before it's too late. Suggesting that if we don't impeach him, he's going to continue to do these things. I don't know if censoring him is possible, censorship or not the way it's spelled, folks, or impeachment. But what do you think about this? Is this a viable possibility, or are we just going to get Dick Cheney or someone else down the line who'll do the same thing?
Well, viable possibility, I don't know, because that depends on the courage of the Democrats in Congress. And courage is a quality which they have shown to be sadly lacking.
You've already gone into that. Yeah,
is it desirable? You bet it's desirable. We should get rid of, by impeachment, of both Bush and Cheney. I guess that would make Nancy Pelosi the president these days, and that would not be all bad if you ask me.
Well, okay, we'll disagree there. Stay with us for one more segment. We'll come back, folks.
Year after a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film Terror Storm is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Tuning in today, folks. You are listening to the Genesis Communications Radio Network. This is the Alex Jones Show. We're just wrapping up the program today. I will be back tomorrow with more guests, more news and information you're not supposed to know about. Great job, Dean Lawrence Velville of the Massachusetts School of Law. Again, his blog, his website is VelvilleOnNationalAffairs.com. That's linked right now on the front page at InfoWars.com. I just wanted to keep you long enough, Dean Velville, to ask you, you know, what are the marching orders? What can we all focus on and work together on to try to create some change here? Is there something we can do that doesn't obviously require a lot of time because Americans don't have a lot of that? What can we do right now?
Well, right now, I think that as many people as possible should attend this march on Washington, because I think that is going to be a lot of the story is going to be told by how many people show up, because if it's a normal, small turnout, it will have no effect.
Yeah.
If it's a huge, massive, unlooked-for turnout, it could have a great effect. Over the longer term, I think we must do something in this country which has rarely been thought about and which certainly was not thought about before this war, that is to determine, von Clausewitz, we must determine what is this country, what are this country's desirable, necessary, strategic goals in the world, and then what are the tactics we should use to obtain those goals. I think that when we think about it, I don't know, but I think that when we think about it, we're going to find out that there are about 15 or 20 countries in this world which we have a great moral, economic, historical interest in, and that we should be willing to protect, to participate in their defense, and that it is only for those countries that we really ought to be willing to go to war in the absence of an attack upon ourselves. And I think that after we think about it, we are likely to find that those countries are nations, including some of our bitter former enemies, like Britain, like Canada, like France, like the New Germany, like the New Japan, like Israel, like Australia, nations of that kind with which we have so much in common in so many ways. I'm leaving out some of the complexities, like where you're going to get oil from and stuff like that. But whatever it turns out to be, I think we have to do some studying and make some decisions as to what are this country's long-term strategic goals and interests, and what are the appropriate tactics for attempting to achieve them.
And on some level, I have to add to this that, you know, we have to continue to fight the information war and get the appropriate information, real information, not propaganda, out to the American people, the people around the world. So, to some extent, we have to go after these media watchdogs or media gatekeepers who are going along with this entire process.
I could not agree more.
And there's a lot of ways to do that. We talk on this program perpetually about how you can do that, and we're always interested in new and more ideas. Well, Dean Velville, I appreciate all your hard work over the decades, and you know, I hope this amounts to something. I hope we're turning a corner here. It appears that the American people are starting to open their eyes, get that sleep out of their eyes, and may become active, something I'm sure that the Bush administration does not ever want to see. Dean Velville, thank you for joining us on the program.
Okay, you're welcome, and thank you.
Thank you for joining us. So, folks, I will be back in about 7 or 8 minutes at the top of the hour, Propaganda News Break, which airs on my program with Deadline Live. We'll be talking about the hate crimes laws with Reverend Pike. We'll also have on our guest to talk about the Wayne Fincher results and story of his trial, updates on that. More news and information coming up right after this on this network, GCN. This has been the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jack Blood. Thank you for tuning in today, folks. Now get out there and fight the New World Order.
This broadcast is available on MP3 CD format at GCNlive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.